From the University of Central Florida's Center for Distributed Learning, I'm Kelvin Thompson.
And I'm Tom Cavanaugh.
And you're listening to TopCast, the teaching online podcast. What's up, Tom?
I'm listening to TopCast, even as we speak.
Tom, you're making TopCast.
Yeah. We've had this conversation
every
before.
Time, it seems
so
like.
So we end up talking a lot.
We do talk a lot, yes.
The weather at the top of the show often.
So you want to move that to the end?
Maybe. Or maybe throughout. We'll just do a total weather update.
I'll leave occasionally and check outside and see how we're doing.
So as I walked up from the parking lot, because I was on campus and now we're off campus in the bunker.
I feel safe.
Yeah. You know how hot and humid it is?
In here, yes, I
Your
do
line
know.
Is, yeah, in here is pretty bad, but now you say, how hot and
how
humid
How hot
is it?
And humid is it, Tom?
It's so hot and humid out there that I'm surprised you're not asking me why I'm wearing all of my scuba gear at this moment. Boy, that fell flat.
Okay.
It is so hot and humid, I swam in here from the parking lot.
Boy, are my flippers tired.
It's really, yeah, boy, are my flippers tired.
Something.
It's ridiculous out there.
It's ridiculous in here. Are you kidding? I mean,
yeah.
It's wow. rough all over.
Maybe I will ask Tim to fix that in post.
He doesn't know where the edit. Well, he does know where the edit.
You know what we
is.
Need is a laugh track. That makes you, that'll make me seem so much funnier.
Yeah, because that's how that works.
Yeah.
Gilligan was always so funny.
Yes.
Because those
the
same 50 people
audience,
were
yeah.
doing
yeah.
the same
hey,
laughs
I've worked
all the
in
time.
TV.
I know.
I know how that works.
I got you.
All right. Well, why don't you save me with some coffee?
I'm happy to do that. Let me pour you some here. And then we'll talk about the coffee shtick. I don't know if we've been remiss in saying that if you're new to TopCast, that we actually start with some brew. We start with some coffee and
yeah,
we kind of make a coffee
connection. Should we reset
that,
as they say in Radio Land? Let's just reset that.
Sure.
So for those who don't know, Kelvin is somewhat obsessed with coffee.
That's maybe the truest statement you've made about it.
Yeah, and probably is funny, is yeah. what I said before.
Yeah, I don't know.
And so this is part of the TopCast deal. The idea is just a couple of dudes sitting around over a cup of coffee talking about online and digital learning.
That's right. What do we say? Collegial conversation.
Collegial
about
conversation.
Digital learning.
So grab your own cup.
With coffee.
Pull it up a chair and join the conversation.
In. That's right. Always.
We won't hear you.
But you'll hear us.
Go ahead and join in.
That's right. And although, you know, if you emailed us, you could share your thoughts with
that's
us.
That's right.
We'd love
or
to hear
send
it.
Us a voice file or
yeah,
audio file.
That's right. TopCast@UCF.edu. Hit record on your smartphone. Email it into us. It's great. But you're probably wanting to know what you're drinking here, Tom.
Right, because I know it's not just any old coffee that we get. Not some random brew that you pull out of the drawer.
No.
There's a lot of thought that goes into these coffee selections.
This is about as much thinking as I do, Tom.
I've described you as my own personal coffee sommelier.
Yeah, I wish you could do better. But, you know, hey, this is what you got. So what do you want for free? So as our longtime listeners know, I love a good single origin coffee. We've gone through a spate of blends, it seems like. And this one is a Burundi from Central Africa. I had to look up where Burundi was. This is called a transitional coffee because the roaster is working with a collective of local farmers to get it through what is apparently the arduous fair trade certification process. So, you know, they're working on it. So I thought this coffee was appropriate for today's episode, though, not because of where it came from originally, but because of how I got it. So bear with me for a second here. I was in a new cafe a while back. I mean, you know, that happens. And as I often do when I find a delightful coffee, and I often do find a delightful coffee, I tweeted a photo with a positive word about the coffee and the roaster. I do that. However, a day or so later, I got a tweet back from the coffee company, which was Bongo Java Roasting, saying, "Glad you liked it. Give us your address and we'll send some more coffee."
Yet another,
Yeah.
Lego piece in your vast scam to acquire free coffee.
We got coffee coming in left and right here. It's kind of good. So I was a little bit, I didn't want to tweet up my address. So I said, well, yeah, if you follow me, I'll follow you and I'll direct message you. But, I got them the address and I'm like, well, maybe somebody will follow through. Maybe they won't. It's hard to say. But about a week later, I opened up a heavy box to find a selection, 3 bags of whole bean coffee, different kinds of coffees, and a beautiful, I meant to bring it in here. I'll have to show you afterwards, a beautiful handwritten note from Bongo Java's operations director, Laura Feiberg, thanking me for the, quote, Twitter love, unquote, and presenting me with a coffee. She has a lovely handwriting.
That's a lost art, the actual handwritten note.
I know. I was like, I've kept it, Tom. I've kept the thing. It's sitting there next to my coffee maker, my coffee brewing
system. We should scan that.
We could do that. So just want to say thank you, Laura, for the coffee love. It's all been tasty, and I've checked out the website, and Bongo Java Roasting in Nashville, Tennessee does have a great selection of single origin and blended coffees, and you should check them out if you're looking for some new high-quality coffees to try. So, Tom, how's the coffee?
It's good. I like it much.
And can you see the connection
I can see the connection.
That's good. I've been worried about my kung fu has been weak lately on your tenuous connections.
Yeah. So, yes, I do think I get it, and it has to do with the tweeting and the promotional aspect of it.
That's right.
And it's been a kind of an odd conversation you and I have been having right now.
Every single one is odder than normal.
Uh-huh. Because we actually have a third person in the room.
What?
Who's like an audience watching this. And we've only done this once before with somebody else actually in the room.
That's right.
So
that's right. And he was sort of like, you know, paid for us as a student worker. So he resisted any efforts to leave or,
that's right.
or to make too much
no
fun
choice.
Of us.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we are really pleased to have our colleague from UCF here, Courtney Borton, who serves as Associate Director of Marketing for UCF Online, which is our exclusively online option for students who want access to our 80-plus online programs, who don't need to come to campus and have that sort of experience. It's sort of our virtual campus. And Courtney is in charge of all of the marketing efforts associated with that. So welcome, Courtney.
Welcome, Courtney.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and have some coffee.
Have some coffee, yeah. You got poured a cup.
We'll snap a photo because you're drinking out of that I Heart Topcast mug.
That's well, right. From a branding perspective, you have to represent here.
Yeah, and as right before we clicked record, we were told, is it today or tomorrow your 2-year anniversary?
Tomorrow. 2 years.
Awesome.
Wow. So in the world of podcast time traveling, you will have already been here 2 years by the time people listen to this.
Yeah, that's how we roll.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
That's right. Yeah, yes, it
indeed.
Does.
That's true.
Feels like you've been here forever like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. You've made a very good and important impact here.
Thank you.
All right, so to kind of set this up, I mean, the idea behind having Courtney come in and talk to us today.
We couldn't think of anything else to talk about.
I figured.
Well, Courtney and I co-presented last fall at the OLC Accelerate Conference, and we talked about the launch of the UCF Online kind of virtual campus. Mm-hmm. And a big piece of that was the marketing side of things. So it was sort of half of the behind the scenes, how I worked the system to get it approved, and half of it was sort of the external, how do we attract and recruit students.
Now, you'd be too modest to say this, but I slipped into that session. I slipped into the back. It was, you know, underway about 2-3 minutes you guys were going, and I could just stand in the back of the room. It was packed.
Yeah.
People were interested. It ended and people didn't leave. They were lining up to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
it was interesting.
It was actually, I thought, a really good session. We both got a lot of great feedback. We enjoyed talking. It was a nice size room and it was full, which is always a good sign.
Yeah.
And one thing I noticed is there were a lot more people lined up to talk to Courtney than there were lined up to talk to me. So that's fine. But it made me think, this is a subject people are interested in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have an expert on staff here with us.
That's right.
So for a little bit of background, when we decided to launch UCF Online, kind of relaunch it, kind of rebrand it, because we've always had online programs, but not in the kind of intentional way that we have now. And we've never marketed until this new rebranding.
That's right.
We were considering going with an OPM, which is an online program management company, where usually the model is a commercial partner will upfront a bunch of costs, handle all the marketing, in many cases the enrollment services, even in some cases they'll help you with instructional design and other kinds of things. And then there's like a 10-year agreement where you have a revenue share of the tuition that pays back their initial investment and both of you are supposed to make money.
Or sometimes shorter time frame. Just to kind
sometimes,
of,
yeah. yeah sometimes contract. That's negotiable and the percentage of the rev share split is sometimes negotiable. Different OPMs have different. And Courtney knows a lot about this because she comes from an OPM.
That shall remain nameless.
You can guess, though. So anyway, we were debating whether or not we should sign with one of these companies, and we had many that were very much interested in working with us. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, for a lot of reasons, we elected not to, and to try to build that capacity internally. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the right decision for us. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of good reasons to go with an OPM, but for us, it made sense not to. And in addition to expanding some of the student support services that we already did, but not at the scale that we currently do it, the area that we needed help with was marketing, because mm-hmm. we did not ever market our online programs,
right.
and we did not have any sort of an intentional online marketing strategy, nor any sort of resources, and our resources are small.
We're a public institution.
Courtney would be the first to tell you how small our resources are to market, but she does a great job with what she has.
So she does a lot with a little.
The idea then was, how do we build that marketing capacity internally? Mm-hmm. And Courtney was our answer. So
no pressure.
Yeah, no pressure, Courtney. Just bring all these students in. So maybe we could start, Courtney, with some of the big pictures, some of these like framing questions.
Yep. Yep.
So, you know, why is marketing an important part of serving online students?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one theory is you make awesome programs, you mm-hmm. have high academic quality, and that you've sure. got a good reputation, institutional reputation. You know, why should I spend all this money and mm-hmm. compete with the I don't know, the for-profits or mm-hmm. whatever. And we have friends in for-profits. Mm-hmm. And we know mm-hmm. they do a good job. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's a perception that we often hear. So mm-hmm. why is it important?
Well, when we think about online programs, there are so many of them.
Yes.
and more programs are being launched every year in institutions. I think here at UCF alone, we recently launched almost 5 in the last year or so. That's just UCF. So when you think big picture, national, forget about international, but in the United States, more and more institutions are launching online programs, which is more competition. So these institutions are basically going out there and just trying to get attention, you know, getting the attention of these students. So what makes UCF different from those institutions? And at the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is connect students with the right programs, and to let them know that this is available.
Mm-hmm.
So as these advertisements are out there, or when they're searching, you know, there's so much noise. I call it, there's a lot of noise
yeah.
out there.
Yeah.
So how do we reach students that are a good fit here at UCF, mm-hmm. and where they may not be able to come to campus, but they want to be a part of the UCF family? How do we reach them and connect them when another institution may come in that may not be such a great fit?
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell people, and we have these conversations a lot with colleagues and friends that I have that work in other institutions, why is it important? Well, if you want to play, you're going to have to compete. So that's really what it comes down to.
So what makes recruiting and marketing for an online program different than the sort of general brand and other kinds of, like, you know, freshman admission marketing mm-hmm. that the university does? I know that you and your colleagues within the marketing department have been very intentional that UCF Online is kind of a subset of and consistent with UCF,
yes.
not as a separate thing. I wonder mm-hmm. if you might want to talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So a little two parts to that. So when we talk about a subset of UCF, there's a lot of institutions that at times have branched off almost into their own online university mm-hmm. of the university.
Right.
And Tom knows this, in our initial conversations and even talking with the president here at UCF and the provost, we wanted to not do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, UCF Online is simply, it's a modality.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offering. It's
mm-hmm.
a way to provide additional access to these students. And it stays under that UCF brand. So that when people go maybe to our website or they see other messaging, they know this is UCF.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, here at UCF, you know, we take pride in doing this for many, many, many years. We take pride in the quality mm-hmm. of education. And we never want to have any type of perception that that's being compromised.
Right.
So, you know, for us, and again, some institutions have different strategic plans within mm-hmm. that. Our plan was to make sure that that stays under the UCF umbrella with everything that we do. And then going back, it really came down to the differences between, you know, freshman students and maybe some of the on-campus types of recruitment efforts. How is that different? You know, we think about, we often use the term the adult learner. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a term that we use quite often. And some other institutions may call them career-oriented.
Non-traditional,
yeah. You know, those types. So for us, you know, really kind of thinking in the adult learner mindset, and not saying that our freshmen are not adults right. after 18, but these are the people, you know, that have been in life for a little bit. They may be already in their careers. They may be motivated to try to move up, or they may have taken a break and they're ready to come back to school. And because of that competition, those adult learners are used to a, let's say, higher level of customer service. You know, mm-hmm. they're used to maybe having more of that concierge, high touch type of approach, opposed to some of our freshmen that are, you know, they're going to have to submit applications and they're going to have to go through the chain, maybe come on campus and meet with advisors. These people can't do that. They either don't have time or they're place bound in certain areas. So, you know, how do we, from a recruitment perspective, reach out to them and have that hand? You know, here's the hand to reach out to and help them through that process.
Well, that might actually be a good transition to sort of the next topic I wanted to talk about, which is what you've educated me on as the funnel. You know, if you think about I guess anybody who's got a marketing background understands all this, but this was all sort of new to me. If you pictured a funnel or an upside down triangle, you know, with the fat end being all your potential students and then narrowing it down to actual enrollments. You've broken it down, at least in our presentation that we co-did last fall, into a couple of different categories. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can kind of describe some of those.
Sure. So when we talk about, and to what Tom said, the top. So the top of the funnel, that's where all of the people are inquiring. So that could be our marketing efforts, our website.
The fat end of the funnel.
Yes, the fat end. Yeah. So, you know, here's the door. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that I try to position it. Here's the door to come in. So what happens after that? So that's kind of the awareness side of the funnel. So promoting awareness through UCF Online, we've been really trying to push, you know, that awareness through our marketing initiatives that we've been launching over the last couple of years. And then as that, and I call it almost a prospective student, like the journey, journey of a student going through this. What is the interest? That's kind of the lead generation side of it. So they're coming in through the funnel. They inquire whether it's through a lead form that's on one of our pages or even maybe a different form on the application side. You know, there's many, many doors that online students are able to go through.
Now, some of our listeners might not quite be familiar with like a term like lead. What do we mean by lead?
So,
lead generation, lead form.
Yeah, so when we talk about a lead, oftentimes that's a student who's inquiring. Mm-hmm. So that's one person. So a person who's inquiring, they're filling out their name in a form and saying, hey, I'm really interested in this program. Here's my contact information.
It might go somewhere, it might not.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I've heard it said about leads that you can have a lot, high quality, or cheap. Pick two.
A lot, high quality, or cheap.
Cheap.
Or pick two.
Cost effective.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that generally true?
I would say
I didn't hear that from you.
I was going to say that didn't come from me. Yeah. But, you know, that comes down to when we say quality, what we're really talking about is a qualified student.
Right.
So for us, at the end of the day, we don't have an unlimited budget here.
What?
Yes.
So
this is subject of many of Courtney and my's meetings.
I bet it is.
How far can we stretch the dollar?
Mm. It snapped a long time ago, Tom. Right. It will not stretch any farther.
Taping it together.
I need another one.
Yes. So how far can we stretch that dollar? So quality over quantity. All day, every day.
Yeah.
And I would even go as far to say even if you had an unlimited budget, that should be the push.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, yeah,
because you don't want to spend a bunch of money attracting students who are not likely to ever enroll.
Exactly.
Waste everybody's time, right?
Yeah.
Who wants that?
So I interrupted you. Sorry.
No problem. And, you know, and really kind of going down that funnel as it gets skinnier and skinnier, that's the consideration. So what we call nurturing and engagement. How are we engaging with these students after they come and walk through that door? And again, this is all online.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't something where we're like, hey, schedule an appointment. Mm-hmm. We can meet with you or a session. This is all online. So really trying to figure out how would they like to be communicated with? How is it through email?
Mm-hmm.
Is it through chat? Is it through text? I mean, there's so many different methods out there now, really trying to understand how to engage that audience. Mm-hmm. And then from there, evaluating, you know, working with them to try to figure out, is this a good fit? or is this not a good fit? Because we don't want our programs and the program directors spending a lot of time with these students. It may not necessarily be a good fit for them.
Right.
So really trying to, again, funnel that out and help them get connected with a program that meets their needs and then obviously the goal of them becoming a student.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm going to put you on the spot. I think I've asked you this question before, and I think the answer is it depends.
Always a safe bet.
But is there a rule of thumb ratio? You know, X number of leads should lead to X number of Y number of students.
It depends.
Of course. Yeah.
You know.
Tell me what it depends on.
It depends on several factors. So, when we talk about X amount of leads should, and we use the word convert a lot, right. X amount right. of leads should convert to X amount of students. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's okay, what channel are we talking about? Where are they coming in from a marketing? Are they coming in from our website? Mm-hmm. Are they coming in from a very specific targeted campaign that's mm-hmm. only going after students with a bachelor's in nursing that want to get their master's in nursing degree?
Left-handed, green-eyed students
right.
who live in
the unicorn?
This zip code. Yeah.
You know, how targeted is that? So I always say the analogy and explanation that I go is the wider the net, mm-hmm. probably a little bit of the smaller conversion that you're mm-hmm. going to have because you're going after such a wide
right.
area.
Right.
So the more targeted, the higher the conversion rate. Because you're being intentional about your messaging, you're being intentional about who you're reaching out to, and you're really trying to be targeted on what that outcome would be for them. So
but back to Tom's kind of quip about pick two, the more targeted you are, seemingly the more costly that is in terms of hours of investment.
The more high quality and more costly they probably are.
Yeah, yes. right.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, we mentioned lead mm-hmm. and we mentioned the word convert. There's a whole lexicon of terms that I've become familiar with in the last 2 years working with Courtney. And I wonder if we can just sort of break down a couple of these and, yeah. and why they matter.
That's probably helpful.
So the first one is SEO.
SEO.
Yes. SEO.
Oh.
SEO.
Yes.
just SEO it.
Gotcha.
That's search engine optimization. I wonder mm-hmm. if you could just give us a brief definition of that.
Yeah, so depending on who you're talking to, so search mm-hmm. engine optimization, I basically say everybody's searching in Google, so they're mm-hmm. typing in certain things. Online, we'll use nursing again, mm-hmm. online nursing program or mm-hmm. online master's in nursing. The goal is to come up in the top 10, that first page that comes up. So we're not talking
organic search,
yes.
right?
Not, look at you.
Yes, look at me. Yeah.
That's right. You get an honorary marketing badge.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we'll get to the pay-per-click stuff in a second. But let's see if I get this right.
Yeah.
So in the organic search, you want to be at the top of the mm-hmm. non-paid search listings.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's ads usually at the very,
right,
very
which
top.
Which have a little green checkmark thing
exactly.
next to it.
And, yeah. and probably some of our listeners have some sense of that mm-hmm. there's stuff that you can put on the page yep. that you want to surface. They're mm-hmm. in the metadata or in some of the wording,
yes,
and where it's placed, all that.
That's where the optimization.
That's the optimization, right?
That's the optimization. Mm-hmm.
And that's a constant awareness and rejiggering of your approach because Google's always, mm-hmm. you know,
updating
mucking around
their algorithms
with the
yeah. mm-hmm. and doing all types of funky stuff to keep us on our toes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, mm-hmm. so that's SEO. PPC.
Pay-per-click. Yes. So paid search also mm-hmm. Is a term, same thing as PPC. So those are our paid ads.
So if I search online nursing, whatever, mm-hmm. and then suddenly, whoosh, right at the top
at
is
that very top.
Acme University because somebody paid for that.
Yes. Yeah.
But if we also did a social media campaign mm-hmm. where we were looking for prospects for, criminal justice mm-hmm. program, say a criminal justice bachelor's program, mm-hmm. and we identified everybody within the state of Florida that has an associate's degree listed in their profile mm-hmm. in some sort of – and a criminal justice job.
Mm-hmm.
If they clicked on that ad, would that be a pay-per-click also from within Facebook?
Yes. Okay. So Facebook, there's also LinkedIn
mm-hmm. right.
mm-hmm. ads. Same thing. That's all under the paid search channel.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. CPL.
Ooh. Now you're just making stuff up, yeah, Tom. You're just throwing letters together. Courtney's like, I don't know what that is.
No, he knows this really well because it goes back to our budget. So cost per lead.
Ah.
Yes. So the cost. How much is it costing for that person to come through? So how much did we pay?
So it's actually cost per converted lead.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the way Courtney reports it, which makes sense to me, is by program area.
Mm-hmm.
And we can get into how we define that, but we don't have to.
Yeah.
But different flavors of programs with different flavors of students using different strategies to reach them are going to naturally cost different amounts.
Yes, that's a good point. And for our listeners, I mean, some programs are way more expensive than other programs, and that comes right down to the competition.
Yeah.
So
there
are a lot of MBAs out there. There's a lot of masters in nursing out there. All of those most likely are going to be a little bit more expensive.
Social work.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the last one I wrote down was retargeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that I learned a lot about. And so I'll tell a funny story I heard from your boss, that he was talking to somebody, I think it might have been some muckety-muck, like a trustee or somebody, who was on a website.
Careful, Tom.
This is okay. There's other stories I will not tell. Who was on a website like Wall Street Journal or something and saw a UCF ad and came back to him, like him or his boss, and said, I think it's great. UCF's getting your name out there. I saw you advertised on Wall Street Journal. That's awesome. And he didn't have the heart to tell him that it was a retargeted ad.
Right.
So could you explain what retargeting is?
Yeah. So simply, and this is actually really controversial right now, especially everything that happened with Facebook recently and sharing of information.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long retargeting will stay with us. But for now, we still have it, and it's highly effective. But basically, if you go on a web page, it tracks you by your IP address, and it will follow you. So you've probably been on Amazon searching for, I don't know. Cookbooks or coffee mugs.
That's right.
Yes.
I do sometimes do that, actually. Coffee racks.
Right. And then all of a sudden, you'll be in Facebook, and you'll notice that there's an advertisement for that cookbook or coffee or whatever it is, and it's through Amazon. That is retargeting.
Yep. So you end up seeing more ads for stuff that you've previously looked at because the internet, it remembers.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So if I'm interested in social work and I'm on the social work page, but I'm not quite ready to make a move, we're going to follow you so that you remember who we are.
That's right. So I'll go to our website, UCF Online, ucf.edu/online. I will
nicely
go there
done,
on occasion, and I'll go look at a particular program page, say, I don't know, social work or nursing or something, and then I'll be on some news site somewhere, and then I'll see an ad for UCF Master of Social Work because I did not click.
And don't you click on that ad.
No, I know, because we pay for that. I know. I've been told.
And our UCF family, don't you click on any of those ads.
So because I had gone to the website and I had gone to a page and viewed it but not filled out the inquiry form, and then I'm still surfing around, I'm still being asked, hey, here's UCF. Yeah, check it out. And so it might take a couple of impressions before you actually make a decision to actually act. I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
If you do say so yourself.
All right. So I'm looking at the clock and we're running down. Man, we have more to talk about. And we were going to talk about email marketing and, well, we did touch on social media a little bit.
I think one thing that might be a good maybe place to try to wrap up, if you don't mind, is because I know you guys have talked about this. You finish your second year here right now, Courtney, but for the year one strategy, I think it maybe is a good application of do you focus on search engine optimization? Do you search on spending money on pay per click? How do you balance that out?
Oh, my first year here's a blur. What did I do? No, in all seriousness, really, institutions, especially if the ones out there that are looking to do this on their own, so looking to not partner with a third party or potentially grow their marketing department. Look at what you have within .edu first. Mm-hmm. That's your website. And everybody's heard me say this. Your website will always be your highest converting, lowest cost channel. It doesn't matter the program. Doesn't matter the audience. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be your highest cost lowest converting channel. So that's a really important one to start with, to focus on, especially those institutions that have been around for a very, very long time, because you get SEO points for that. So really looking at your site, looking at your content that's in that site, how relevant it is, how easy it is to navigate for students that are looking for certain programs, all of those little pieces are going to help you start converting higher. And again, that doesn't cost that much to do, whether you maybe hire somebody at first to come in to give you some consulting, or you hire somebody within, which I highly recommend institutions consider investing in. Search engine optimization is not going anywhere. And having a dedicated person that can stay on top of that and continue to optimize it is going to be your best investment.
So would you consider that, like, if you had to come up with one recommendation for somebody who's launching an online, you know, program marketing initiative, would it be focus on your website and SEO?
Yes. I'd say focus on your website, your SEO. Look at if there's opportunities to maybe migrate some pages that you have, maybe link to certain pages that you have. All of that is going to help increase not only usability, but also, like I said, those SEO points that are important. So that relevant content where you're going to start ranking on those top pages. And then going from that, paid search has always been basically my second, because what you're doing with SEO should complement the paid search, and paid search should complement SEO. The two really work hand in hand together. So whatever SEO strategy that you decide to partake in, really think about your paid search campaigns and how they're speaking to each other. So, for example, what keywords are you going after? What keywords are you targeting on your site? What keywords are you targeting on your paid search campaign? That's going to help you stay in sync and in a line.
Yeah, and as we've grown, we have discovered some competitor institutions using our keywords.
Yes.
So, just, like, UCF is somebody else's keyword?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Sure.
UCF, pro, you know, online.
Whatever.
Why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Who shall remain nameless.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Well, I know our time and our coffee are growing short here, and we could talk about more, and maybe we'll have Courtney back and talk about...
yeah, there's more to talk about.
You know, part two and part three of...
I'd love to.
Marketing. Yeah, we'd love to have you. You know, people get tired of listening to us. it'd be nice for a change. But maybe I'll take a shot at a bottom line, and you guys please correct me or add into refine anything, but maybe here's a place to kind of wrap it up. So marketing of online programs might not be the first thing you think of as an online education professional, but it is kind of difficult today in our current environment to imagine being a leader in our field without knowing the vocabulary, the lexicon that Tom brought up, and being able to engage productively with marketing professionals, either inside the institution or outside the institution. Would you guys agree? Is there anything you'd add to that?
Yeah, the only thing I might add is that you can't undersell the importance of marketing. I think, you know, you can build the greatest online, highest quality program, but if no students are in it, you know, you're whistling through the graveyard and, or whatever kind of bad analogy or metaphor I could come up with. You know, if you build
walk it in your scuba suit,
they may not come, right? Yeah. So you want to make sure that you do all you can to make that access available to students, and they can't access it if they don't know about it.
Right.
Would you agree,
Courtney? I would agree, and the only other thing that I would add is really understanding that terminology, because those out there that are working with agencies, at the end of the day, you're not the only institution or only client they have. So really know these terms, understand what they are, so that you can understand where your investment is going and that you're managing that, because no one's going to care about that more than you. So just, you know, depending on what the circumstance and situation is, it's important to understand how that works.
And maybe one last.
one last
word. Yeah, sorry. Well, I mean, Courtney made me think of it because, you know, understanding the terminology, I think, is critical, because then you can understand what it means and how it's important and why it's important. But, you know, we were talking about cost per lead and, you know, things like that. Sometimes those kinds of terms to an academic are not always accepted. Because it sounds too corporate, too industry. And it's something that Courtney and I have worked on here to translate some of that into terminology that means the same thing but has different labels, so that it's more palatable to certain people in the faculty, not all faculty, yeah, but some faculty object to that sort of corporatizing of the academic experience.
Yeah.
And we've turned lead into like prospective student, things like that. It's the
or
same
an
thing.
Inquiry.
Inquiry, yeah. So that's something just to keep in mind. Understand your context and your culture, and then you can do that translation.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. So thank you for that. And thank you, Courtney, for coming and drinking coffee with
thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you, and maybe we'll come up with a time to have you back in here.
Yeah, year three anniversary.
Something like that. Well, until next time, I'm Kelvin.
I'm Tom.
See ya.